This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, fashion a pair of wings out of feathers and wax and give them to language with strict instructions for use. It's still name season here at The Allusionist. In today's show, we're going to hear a few of your stories about why you changed your names. Thanks so much to all of you who've been telling me about your names. It is never boring. I think there'll be another episode about name changes, so if you want to, do record yourself telling me why you changed your name and why you chose the name you chose. The people who are here today have included only as much or as little of their current or past names as would be safe to have aired publicly and that they are comfortable with. For instance, where trans correspondents mention their dead names, that was their decision, and some correspondents remain anonymous. On with the show.
I changed my name because my parents spelled it wrong.
Why did I change my name? I didn't like it.
I have legally changed my name twice now, first and last. My parents tell this cute story about choosing my name the night before I was born, but as I was growing up, it was one of the most common names for female dogs.
I found out when I was about 12 that I was actually named for an actress that my dad had had a crush on when he was a kid, so I thought that was a bit weird, and I didn't really want to hang on to that.
When I was born, my parents could not agree on a name for me. And on their last day in the hospital after I was born, they were watching the news, and there was a missing children's report on the TV with a little girl named Ashley, spelled A-S-H-L-E-I-G-H. And I was named after her.
Choosing a new name allowed me to drop off a lot of the old baggage with the old identity without feeling as though I were betraying it.
When I was a kid, I was always asking my parents, "What would you have named me if I'd been a boy?" And they always answered, "We just knew you were going to be a girl." I wonder if they would have given me a real answer if they knew why I was actually asking. If they had ever given me a real answer, that would be my name now. As things stand, I had to choose my own name.
I changed my name because I was coming into a more identification with my Japanese heritage. I am half Japanese and half Caucasian. And, you know, I felt like my name, my birth name, didn't represent that. In fact, it didn't. All three of my names, first, middle, last, really, you know, I always stood out on paper, or you wouldn't have been able to tell that I was actually half Asian. You know, it looked completely like a generic white name, so to speak. And I think, you know, choosing a name and coming into a name that you feel is appropriate for you is a big step in terms of self-discovery.
I was born Roger the Fourth, and that name always felt weird for me. And I eventually realized this is because I'm trans, and Roger's a very masculine name. At first, I tried to find a name that was a feminine version of it, but none really exist. The closest I got was Regina, but didn't like that either. After years of going by nicknames and little things, I eventually realized I could take part of my name and recycle it. I could take the fourth, convert it to a Roman numeral, and put it in the center of my name. And I got River, and I like that.
My name is Remy Green, and I'm an attorney in Brooklyn, New York. I practice law and am barred in the state of New York under the name J, and that's a J as a first initial, Remy Green. I was born as Jeremy Maxwell Green. Jeremy is an obviously masculine name, while Remy is at least somewhat androgynous, which better reflects me as a transgender, non-binary person. I was told that for practicing law, while shortening Jeremy to Remy or Jeremy to a J and using it as an initial would be perfectly okay, switching out the first E in Jeremy for a period and a space would be too unconventional. So Jeremy becoming Remy Green was fine. Jeremy Maxwell Green becoming J. Maxwell Green would have been fine, but Jeremy Green becoming J. Remy Green was not. So after confirming that, in fact, one Jeremy could change to J and one Jeremy could change to Remy, I went to court and got another Jeremy added to my name. I changed my name to Jeremy Green.
So I chose to change my name because before I was aware that I'm trans, because I didn't know that was a identity I could be or that we existed, really. I always hated the colors of my name. I didn't realize that I experienced letters not like everyone else, because I'm also synesthetic. So I didn't realize I didn't like my name because of gender reasons. I just thought, I just can't stand these colors. I don't, you know, these pinks, these teals, like, I can't handle them. Which is funny, because I love those colors now. But I needed to change my name for so long. And I knew that it was important that I pick a name that has letters that I love and colors that I love, like colors that I paint with, colors that resonate with me. So I named myself Ketch, and I spelled it K-E-T-C-H because it mattered that it was in the darker teals and burnt reds and things that I really enjoy looking at all the time. And it bonus points. It turned out that I worked for my gender expression too.
When my wife and I decided to get married, we wanted to make our own last name, as I've never been too connected to my own. And so what we did is we took the first letter from each of our last names and our mother's last names and made an acronym out of that in order to make our own last name.
My father desperately wanted a boy to carry on the family name, to be a third. Instead, he got two girls. When I got divorced at the end of my 20s, the thought of reverting to my maiden name seemed an injustice or an affront to my individuality, so I chose the last name Rowan after a magical and protective tree.
My name is Rowan. I changed my name when I was 18. I'm 26 now. And I changed my name because at the time I was really struggling with my gender identity, and I felt a lot of dysphoria being called a very feminine name. And I chose the name Rowan when I was researching names for a story. I came across it, and I just had this instant sense that it was the name I would have been given if I had been born a boy, like it was my name in another life. And I decided that there was no reason to waste it on this other life when you only get one, and that's why I changed it.
My name is Michelle, formerly Michael, and I changed my name because I was discovering who I was. And when I did a transition from male to female. And so I thought I needed a more female sounding name. And some people believe that, you know, you become a new person, you need a totally new identity. And with me, that's not the case. I wanted to keep sort of the variant of what I was called, I guess you could say, just to pay honor to my parents. They chose that name for me, and that name carried me for many years, and that was my identity for many years. So I thought to pay homage, as it were, to that identity, that when I became who I am today, that I would just vary it slightly into more of who I am.
I changed my name about 2 or 3 years ago when I came out as a transgender man. My name used to be Rachel, and now I go by Felix, partially because I didn't know any Felixes. I like that it means lucky in Latin, and that it's like the root for the word happy in Spanish. I think that's kind of nice. Like, the idea that as I change my name, I'm like becoming more happy. Like, that is like part of my transition.
My birth name is not like a particularly feminine name, but it is identifiably a quote unquote girl's name. And I'm a non-binary person, so that wasn't going to work for me. And after I came out, it took a while, but I decided that I did want to change my name. I thought about a lot of different names to use. I had a long list, and I tried out a couple of different ones. But I settled on Felix because, well, first of all, it means lucky, which makes me smile when I think about it. And I only know that because of Harry Potter, because it's the luck potion. It's called Felix Felicis. So that's what I settled on as my reason. Anytime anyone refers to me by my name, it reminds me that I'm really lucky to not just be queer and be out and be be like in alignment with who I actually am, but also to be like surrounded by such a loving community of people who like honor and respect who I am and do so by calling me by my name.
I used to be called Reinhardt, which is a South African name, and it's quite common in South Africa. But unfortunately, when I moved to the Netherlands, it was really difficult for people to pronounce. And it is, when you're meeting new people, which is part of an expat's life, it is always really frustrating when people spend like the first 3 minutes of a conversation just in a spitting contest to do the g sound, Reinhardt. So I decided to make my life, but also their lives, easier. And I chose Abraham. And how did I do that? I started with the alphabet. And Aaron was already taken, so I just went to the next one, Abraham.
Hi, Helen. My name is Erin Artin.
And my name is Ben Artin. When I was growing up in Croatia, my name was Miroslav Jurišić.
And my name was Jelena Antonić when I was growing up in Serbia. We met when we were both starting grad school in Boston, and pretty soon after we started dating, we realized neither of us was loving the experience of having a name that nobody around us could spell or pronounce.
So we figured, why not change them? The whole thing, new first names, new last names. We decided that our new names would have to be unambiguous because we were tired of being asked how to spell them.
And we wanted our new names to be easily spelled and pronounced in Serbian and Croatian.
And we wanted them to be short, because if we're going through all this work to pick new names, we didn't want to then end up with nicknames.
Even with those requirements, though, there were still way too many first and last names to pick from.
So we decided to add one more requirement that let us quickly trim the list to a manageable size using a computer program.
We picked new names that could be spelled with a periodic table of the elements.
Then we field tested the new names for about a year to see how we liked them. We'd get dinner reservations using our tentative new names, for example.
And when we finally legally changed our names, we kept our old first names as our new middle names. Now we can just say, I used to go by my middle name, when we don't feel like telling this whole story.
I'd never connected to my birth name of Michael. There were so many of us in grade school that we were all of us addressed by our full names, even by our friends. When I was 12, I told my dad that I didn't like my name very much, so he said that I should just find one that I did like and have people call me that. So I settled on Cirrus, because I enjoy cloud gazing, I like Latin, and all the clouds are named for Latin. It's been professionally very beneficial since it sets me apart in my field as a journalist. There are 66 Michael Woods just in the Bay Area subsection of LinkedIn, but I positively dominate Google search results for Cirrus Wood.
So I'm trans and I wanted to change my name, and it was pretty clear that I was going to change my first name just by adding an A to the end of it and feminizing it, but I didn't want to just do the feminized version of my middle name because my assigned middle name was Ahmed, and this was at the time when Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was in the news, and Ahmadina did not feel like the name that I wanted to have. And so it took me, honestly, 7 years to figure out the middle name that I actually wanted to have. And I ended up choosing Ruya for two reasons. One is because it is Arabic for vision or sight, and I really like my eyes. I have had various types of dysphoria in my life, but at all points, I really enjoyed the color of my eyes. They change from blue to green to gray, and I like how they look. And I have always liked that part of my own body, even when I didn't like any other part.
I chose the name Leaf because I spend a lot of time in the forest, and I like foresty things, but I think more importantly, as a trans person, or more specifically as a transgender non-binary person, I very much felt singled out and lonely. I spent a lot of time feeling like a freak. I'm almost always the only trans person in the room, and even when there are other trans people around, I am probably the only transgender non-binary person in the room. So I chose the name Leaf because there are a lot of leaves out there, and it sounds pretty silly, but honestly, I really do go out into the forest and be like, wow, look at all these leaves, and just feel like one leaf among many leaves. And it's very, very comforting, and I love my name.
So my birth name was Amanda Lynn. My middle name was Lynn, after the instrument, the mandolin. I never really felt like it fit me, and my mom started calling me Amanda Panda when I was a kid, and then it just kind of evolved to where my close friends would start calling me Panda. And then when my wife decided to transition, she's a trans woman, and she changed her birth name, her dead name, to her feminine name, I went ahead and changed my name legally to Panda. We did it at the same time in the court together, and it was a really nice experience, and I'm glad that I did it.
This one is from someone who needs to remain anonymous. They say, in my mid-20s, I took a job with an organization that monitors far-right extremist activity. Because of the risks involved, I was advised to pick a false name to work under. I picked a first name that sounded not too unlike my own name, one syllable ending in the same consonant sound, and a surname from somewhere back in my family tree, but that had no particular connotations for me. The aim was for it to be as unmemorable as possible. About 5 years on, I moved to a different job, but would still be working with lots of the same people, so I just kept the false name. I had it till I left that job, about 4 years ago, so for about 15 years in total. It quickly became completely normal to me to have two names. I never once accidentally used the work name in my private life or vice versa, and was perfectly comfortable with this. It probably helped me to compartmentalize things, keeping what was a secretive and sometimes risky job separate from my personal life. My wife actively disliked the pseudonym, I think feeling a really uncomfortable cognitive dissonance over it in a way I never did. The conclusion I draw from all this is that our names may be more closely linked with how others see us than with how we see ourselves.
I was doxxed because some people on the internet felt that I shouldn't be in a position of authority on an internet forum. That ruined my name for me. It had been a name that I had always valued and been proud to have, but it ruined it for me. It took it away. After that, I was engaged fairly shortly after with my longtime boyfriend, and I made the decision to change my name to his. It was not an easy decision, but ultimately I wanted to have a new name that did not feel tainted by what had happened to me. So that's why ultimately I changed my last name to my husband's, even though that was something that growing up I never ever believed I would do. And it still troubles me sometimes that I had to erase my own identity because of the patriarchy and also what was done to me when I was doxxed. If you Google search my original name, you will still find horrible things said about me, personal information, photos, that kind of thing. So it does still hurt that my name was stolen from me in that way.
I had to change my whole name and my whole identity, really, to disappear from an ex-partner. And I chose my new names because they're more international. And my first name, the name that I go by, is derived from a meaning for foreign or strange, because that's how I felt about my new identity at the time. Although now, over a decade later, I feel that trauma a little less. But just today, my current partner, we're getting married soon, and he was at the registry office filling out his form, and he texted me and asked me what my old name was in case they needed it for something. And even typing out the old name made me cry because it wasn't my choice.
I changed my name
because when I was born, my name was picked for me by the leader of the cult that I grew up in. My parents joined a new religious movement, also possibly known as an apocalyptic cult, and the charismatic leader of the cult often named children. And so when I was born, my parents went to her and she gave me both my first and my middle name. When I turned 25, I decided to change my name because I was no longer in the cult and my name was not especially special to me. In particular, I picked my new name because my parents had always told me this story about how they had come to the charismatic leader and told her the name that they had thought of. And she said, no, that name won't work. It's a name for an artist and your daughter needs a name that will be for a fighter because the world needs soldiers and it needs warriors, not artists. So she gave me that name. And when I reached 25 years old, I legally changed my name. My first name is the name that my parents had suggested, and my last name comes from my partner. It's not his last name, but it's part of his name, so it's a little bit more subtle than if I just changed my last name to his. And I'm very happy with my new name, and that is my story.
I am a pro wrestler / drag queen, and I go by the name of Reese Indigo. I chose to have a different name for my in-ring name simply because like my name, Sam Gladstone, it doesn't have punch. It's not something that you can hear as announced like, in the ring, Sam Gladstone. It just doesn't work, right? Whereas Reese Indigo is something that people can chant, you know, you can get behind, right? You can, you know, Indigo, 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 right? And it helps with a pop. It's something you can sell, and it sticks out. It's familiar, but it's unusual.
I changed my name many years ago, my last name, because it was a name that I shared with my father and my sister, with whom I no longer had a relationship, and I did not want to carry that name anymore. So I chose my maternal grandmother's maiden name.
Between the time I was born and the time I went to high school, I was known by three different last names. So there was my name at birth, and then my name was changed legally based upon an adoption by my first stepfather. And then when I started high school, I started to use as an alias the name of my second stepfather. Well, it got really complicated when I went to college because I had records in two different names, neither of which were my original birth name. When I was 19, I was reacquainted with my biological paternal side of my family, and there was a little bit of an expectation that I would change my name back to my birth name. Well, I found out that my father had a second son, and he named his second son exactly the same name that he named me at birth. So what I did to get rid of all the complications was, when I was 19, I went to my local probate court in my town, and I legally changed my name by dropping all of my last names. So now my full legal name is made up of my first and middle names, which is what everyone called me when I was a kid anyways, and I really liked that. So I felt like when I changed my name, I was reclaiming my identity.
I changed my name from Kirsten to Kit because I'm a transgender man, and I don't identify with my feminine birth name. I chose Kit because it was sort of a nickname that my partner would use with me sometimes, and I just felt better to me. It seems kind of weird to think about my partner naming me in a way, but that's cool. I changed my name before I came out as trans, and initially my dad, even before he knew I was trans, he was kind of offended by the fact that I changed my name at all, and so he would like passive aggressively, sort of, you know, outright aggressively use my birth name instead of my chosen name, which was very frustrating for me. I didn't actually really hate my birth name until he started doing that. Like, I didn't like it because it didn't suit me gender-wise, but then just having that association kind of made it worse in a lot of ways. Since I came out to him as trans, he's still not calling me Kit, but he calls me Junior, which has a very masculine feel to it to me, but it sort of feels like he's trying, you know, he doesn't really like the name Kit, I think, and he's avoiding it.
My name is Lysander, and I changed my name because I'm trans. And changing your name in the trans community is somewhat of a rite of passage, in the sense that you get to experiment and put words to this blossoming identity that you have. Another factor, for me anyway, was the fact that my father disowned me after I came out. It's been a strange experience going on hormone replacement therapy in the sense that it's changing my body to look more like him, which is very confronting. So I can't escape him in that respect, but I can shed his name and in the process reclaim my identity and my history as my own in that respect. I chose Lysander because I've always loved Shakespeare, and growing up I felt like I was Helena. She was tall, like I was tall. She was sort of gangly and awkward and desperate to be loved. But, you know, transitioning and coming into myself, I feel much more like Lysander now, who is still passionate and creative and just like the most beautiful soul. And that's, it feels much more close to who I am.
Your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is Zoannon, noun, in ancient Greece, a primitive wooden image of a deity. Try using it in an email today. This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman, with editorial help from Eleanor McDowell and Martin Austwick, who also makes the music for the show. Thanks to all of you listeners who told us about your names. You can find the show on Facebook and Twitter, search for Allusionist Show, and over on the show's website you can hear the other episodes in the name season, and indeed every episode of The Allusionist, for each of which there is also a list of additional reading matter and such. There is the full dictionary entry for every randomly selected word. There are listings for all the live events I'm doing. Essentially, for everything allusional, visit theallusionist.org.